you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I just wanted to take a moment that if you are here visiting today, my name is Brad Holford. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Tim could not be here today, so I'm going to be ministering the word. So praise the Lord. But if you are visiting, I invite you, come on back. Pastor Tim is the man that is anointed and appointed to lead this congregation and be the pastor of this church. And I know that he would want to meet and greet with you personally, get to know you. We love family here at Family Church. And we know that God's got a blessed plan for your life, and that's important to us. So everything we do here at Family Church is out of the Word of God. So praise the Lord. The Lord's put a word on my heart today. So it's going to be good. If you stick to the Word, it'll always be good. But if you are visiting here with us, don't judge this church based on the ministry here today. Amen. Pastor Tim is a dynamic man of God, pastor, teacher, and it would be to your benefit to come and hear him and get to know him. Amen. Glory to God. You ready for the word here today? Aren't you grateful for the word of God? Aren't you grateful for the word of God? When you become thrilled with the word of God is when it works for you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it says that, obviously, in verse 14, the Word became flesh, meaning Jesus. But I like it says, and the light was with the Word, and so it was from the beginning. And it says, the light shined into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word shined into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Couldn't understand it. Couldn't figure out something that was in place before its existence. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So the light was established far before darkness even entered the picture. The light shined on into darkness, and the darkness never understood it. Jesus being that light, the greater one on the inside of you, wherever you go and whatever darkness you face, it won't understand you. Don't think it odd when you're standing in the Word of God and there'll be those around you that can't understand how you got to where you got. They won't understand that you shouldn't have made it out. They don't understand that you should have stayed broke. They should have understood that going through the circumstances that you've been going through, you should have remained sick. But for some reason, the darkness that was surrounding you and encompassing you now has no leverage on you, and I see you completely on the other side of what you were going through. Because the Word, the greater one on the inside of you, the darkness couldn't comprehend it or understand it. If you pay attention to the Word of God and get the living Word on the inside of you, that which tried to refrain you and hold you back becomes a catapult to get you to the other side of His glory, which is the Word of God. You should have stayed broke, but you got the Word. You should have stayed sick. You should have stayed in that coma. You should have stayed mentally disturbed, but you got the Word, the greater one on the inside of you, and the world can't understand it. I know that person's going through something, but every time I see them, they got a smile on their face. I don't know why their spouse just passed away, but for some reason, there's a skip in their step. There's an uplift in their voice. I know they're going through financial difficulty right now. I know they've had a loss of a job. They should be whining and crying and groveling, but for some reason, they keep going down to that family church, and they start giving into the offering, and when they do, they're worshiping and praising the Lord. Right in the midst of it, the Word has to become greater inside of you than what you're going through right now. It's far greater, it's far above than anything that you're dealing with. Give heed to the Word of God. You may have nothing right now, but you got the Word. That's all you need. Don't judge me because of the darkness that the light has overcame. I've got the Word of God. Don't judge me by my current circumstances or what it may appear. Know me by the word that's coming out of my mouth. Glory to God. So I just encourage you, when you have an opportunity to gather together, give yourself to the full attention of the Word of God. It's the Word that was established far before your existence here right now and any menial thing that you're dealing with or going through. Get the Word of God. You'll trump it 100% of the time. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 124. You don't have to turn there, just listen. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our souls. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is the broken, and we are his escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Under the New Testament, if it had not been for the Lord who was on the inside, if it had not been for the greater one that was on the inside, I would have been swallowed up. I would have quit. I would have thrown in the towel. I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd be doing my own thing, walking my own way, living in the defeat that I've always lived in and known. But because the Lord is on the inside of me, when the snare of the fowler came, I've been delivered out of it. Let's see here. Glory to God. These verses are coming to me all of a sudden here. Psalm 119, verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from your precepts. I had a snare laid by the evil one, set out, planned out, plotting out. Had my funeral made, had the arrangement set, had the plan and course of my defeat already laid and prepared before me, had a snare that had been laid out from the enemy that was before me. Yet I erred not from thy precepts, or I erred not from thy word. In other words, everything that the enemy had in store for me right now at this current circumstance, in this current situation, it didn't take into consideration the word that I had before me. You can throw anything that you can throw at me, devil, but because I have the word, every snare that you had prescribed, premeditated, prefabbed for me to come in contact with, I haven't erred from the word. And because of that case, I am liberated and freed. The word itself is all you need. The word itself is self-sufficient. It needs nothing added to it. All you have to do is put it in your mouth and speak your word, and you'll get to the other side of what you're going through. Don't focus on the mountain that is before you. Focus on the impenetrable, imperishable seed of the word out of your mouth that will bring you through. Why focus on the thing that is far less? Focus on the word of God. The snare that has been laid before you, I haven't erred from your word. I haven't erred from your precepts. Therefore, it's got no chance. This is a done deal as far as I'm concerned. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know what Jesus went through. He should have stayed dead. He should not have rose again. He should have remained down there. But because he was exactly who he said he was, and because he did exactly what he said he would do, he has been raised again, and he has taken you and brought you up with him and seated you together with him in heavenly places. And he said, everything that now I've accomplished, every death that's been under my feet, every victory that I've obtained, I now delegate that authority and that dominion to you. Glory to God. The written word of God. The beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, You have to get excited for the Word. People that are excited for the Word come with an expectation because they understand, I rejoice at thy Word as one who struck it rich or one who found great spoils. They understand that I need to be in church to get the Word because that is my ticket to victory. I already know what I know and it brought me to this place. I need to elevate my thinking in line with the Word through a renewed mind so that I can get above of my circumstance. I want the force that is the bargaining chip to my freedom. Through my own doing, I've come up with failure. If I had a Word, it puts a step to get here on Sunday mornings. It puts a step in me to get here Wednesday night. I've been here seriously. And this isn't a praise, this is a tell on Pastor Brad moment. I've been here on Wednesdays when there's been such a cloud and such a heaviness and such oppression on me that it's taken halfway to three quarters of the ministry of the Word and the corporate anointing for that thing to lift off of me. And that's not any bragging, but hey, I've been to hell's doorstep, so to speak, and wondering how I'm going to see the next day. How did I do that? The Word. I'm grateful for the man of God that got up here and got the Bible. Let's open to these verses. Let's open to this page and began to minister the Word uncompromised to bring liberation to me. Glory to God. I'm so grateful for what He's given us as family, an opportunity to get together to hear the Word of God. I'm helping you here today. I'm telling you, put an emphasis and excitement on the Word of God. Stir yourselves daily to get the Word of God. Amen. It'll be a blessing to your life. Glory to God. Amen. I have some things on my heart that I want to share with you because they're so important for you to get the understanding of this. And I'm going to be ministering along the lines of fulfilling God's promises. And if you have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we're going to begin here, and over the course of the last number of months, I've heard this, and I've even ministered along these lines, but it's something that I feel has been neglected in the body of Christ, that, you know, not that we praise a method or a system of faith, but there's some things that are blatant and foundational in the Word of God and some direction that we get concerning His promises to bring fulfillment. It's going to require effort on your behalf. It's going to require your faith. Amen. It's going to require you getting into the Word and knowing His promises so you know what's been made available to you. And so I want to pick it up over here in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in the third verse. And it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. I like how it says that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means that covers all areas of the board. The slate has been swiped clean. Things that pertain to life, this current life, and godliness, meaning your spirituality. Amen. Glory to God. So everything has been taken care of through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. An in-depth knowledge, knowing Him is knowing the Word of God. How do you know that? Well, let's keep reading. In verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It says that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Great and precious promises are the Word of God. His great and precious promises are the Word of God. And it says that these great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have to have an understanding that these great and precious promises are for the fulfilling. Jesus established these great and precious promises for them to be fulfilled. When Jesus died and rose again, he said, "It is finished." In other words, the plan of salvation is finished. But yeah, the plan of healing's been finished too. The plan of your prosperity has been finished too. The plan of the peace of your mind has been finished as well. And the reason for the promises, these great and precious promises, is that you would fulfill them in your life. Why? Because the ultimate price has been paid for their fulfillment. He prepared a table before you that he is in full anticipation of you devouring the entirety of everything that was prepared on your behalf. So these great and precious promises that have been established through the Word of God are for the fulfilling in your life, every bit to the nth degree of the price that was paid on your behalf. That through them, you may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption, what is it? Lack, poverty, sickness, disease, mental depression, wayward, dysfunctional families, any polarities, anything like that is corruption. He's given you the great and precious promises that through these promises, you would have the ability to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That word lust means a longing for what is forbidden, and that is obvious. Oftentimes, people hear that word lust, and they automatically put it to sexual appetites and different things like that, which is not incorrect, but it's far more in depth in meaning than that, because it means a strong desire or things that you set your heart upon. Distractions, attention getters, things that would occupy the place of the great and precious promises. Because it's through these great and precious promises and your full undivided attention on them that you're going to escape the corruption that comes through lust. See, lust is a funny thing, because we had a bonfire over at my parents' the other night. And lust is one of those things that will just rob, steal, kill, and destroy from you. Just rob and take from you. It's one of those things like a fire that it'll just keep taking wood. You know, you could just keep adding wood and adding wood and adding wood, and it'll just keep taking it and taking it and taking it. There's no bottom to how lust operates and works. The alcoholic would drink and binge and have some of those things going on in their life, and they are content for a moment. Then the next day, they'll have to do it again, because there's a strong desire and a passion that has developed in them for those things. To the one who understands the great and precious promises and puts that first and foremost above any other thing, has a desire, I gotta have his word. I gotta have your plan, Father. I gotta have your purpose in my life. I gotta have my answers in the word of God. Whatever you're dealing with, when your desire becomes as hungry for some of those, for the word of God, as it had been for those things in your past life, the desire for money, for fortune, fame, for relationship, for security outside of the word of God, for those things, when you have that desire, and if you weren't here Wednesday, you really have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking through Pastor Kate, because of the distractions that are in this world, the course of the world trying to get into the church and get into our lives through this technological age and era that we're in, trying to create a desire. Can't go more than 5 minutes without being on an iDevice, checking the phone, seeing who emailed, see who Facebook, you know, being on YouTube, being stimulated, you know, put your phone down and leave it down. When's the last time you took a Saturday? I mean, I, granted, I know people do business and you can't be apart from your phone, but what about the last time that you set your phone down and just let it be there for all day and not even checked it? You know, oh my goodness, don't do that. Well, number of years ago, they didn't even have phones. Like Pastor Kate was saying, they had landlines. And then they came out the cordless. Now you're banking. Everything can be done on it. And I was ministering up at Erie last night, and I'll mention this again, and I'm not, this is the realm of my opinion. But there's a generation that's coming up that is so dependent on their cell phones that it is making them socially misfitted in our society. You don't even have to go pick up a pizza anymore. You can order your pizza online. They deliver it. You hear bing bong. Go pay the guy. Thank you. Done. All your clothes shopping, all your, and I get stuff online. I'm not dismissing that. I use technology. I'm not being like, oh, yeah, let's go back to start pounding, stone tablets to get a message across or, instead of sending out the group text, we send out carrier pigeons and it lands on your house to each with a note saying, be here at church tomorrow. No, nothing like that. But what I'm saying is when this generation's coming up and everything's done on the phone, like back in the day, you used to go to the store and say you were going to the parts store, you would talk to the manager. Well, I need brake pads and I need a rotor for this side of my vehicle. Well, I don't have that. Well, I'll have to order that. And then you went back and you picked it up. And I understand maybe there's some cost in fuel and going different things like that, or calling or talking to them on the phone. But now it's not like that. You just go online. So you're missing the interaction with society. So what I'm saying is this, kids are so on their phones all the time and so constant in technology and different things like that, that when it comes time to approach somebody to be a witness or an example to them, where's the app for that? How do I go up and talk to this person? The phone won't teach you that. The phone will teach you. You don't even have to talk to a cashier going through Walmart. Go to the self-checkout. I don't got to deal with anybody. Don't got to talk to anyone. I can stay in my own isolated bubble. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to fellowship. Don't have to be a light. Pull my hat way down like this. Put my hood up like this. Walk in. Don't have to talk. Do anything and walk out. The things of the world trying to creep in to this era and to this age. It ought not be. We don't want to set our desires on our cell phones, our computers, the TVs, anything that would create a desire on the inside of you apart from the Word of God. Colossians 3:2, if you'll bring that up for me. Colossians 3:2, look what the Word says here. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Not on the things of the earth. Set your affections, your attention, your desires, your wants on things that are above. It far supersedes anything that's here on earth. This earth was created by that other realm. We've understood that, Pastor, talking on faith. Glory to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:18, if you'll bring that up for me. 2 Corinthians 4:18, for the sake of time. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are external. The things that we see are temporal, subject to change, and they do change. And let it not steal your peace when they do change. Glory to God. Why? Because our desire, our attention, our focus is on the unseen, the eternal realm. I love the stability of the Word of God. You want to see stability? Take a look at someone that spends their time in the Word of God. That's why I'm so grateful for our pastors and the leadership of this building and this church, is because they are grounded first and foremost on the Word of God. You want to see an example of stability? Look at your pastors. Glory to God. Stability. Why? They spend time day in, day out, meditating on the great and precious promises for your sake as well. Glory to God. Amen. And if you'll turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter, I want to get into the meat of the message here this morning. Galatians, the 6th chapter. We have an understanding that he has the great and precious promises. These great and precious promises are the highest authority through you and I that this earth will know and experience. The Word of God in your mouth brings the change through the dominion that has been entrusted to you. And they are for the fulfilling here on earth in your life. Glory to God. Through the Bible, there are many different laws. We have natural laws, while the Bible has spiritual laws. These laws are pertinent to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. If you participate in these laws, they will have an effect in your life. They will work in your life. And in Galatians, the 6th chapter, I want to read, starting with the 7th verse, and you're familiar with this. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we have a law here that he's talking about. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is a spiritual law that takes place. The law of sowing and reaping. We're all familiar with the law of gravity. Aren't you grateful for the law of gravity that we're not floating around bumping into each other right now? We don't have to wear special outfits or anything to keep us seated in our chairs or standing up here or anything like that. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're black, white, purple, yellow, young, old, man, woman, it doesn't matter. If you jump off this building from the very top, you're going down. You're going to hit the ground. Why? The law of gravity has taken over. Doesn't matter if you're saved, if you're unsaved, if you're Buddhist, if you're Muslim, doesn't matter who you are. The law of gravity works and is in effect, and it will bring you down. Same thing with the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. It is a law. There's people that are in jail right now that have been there because they have sowed seeds into the wrong ground, yet they may be born again right now. There's people sitting here today that have made mistakes in the past that you've sown into the wrong field or the wrong ground, and you are still reaping today the results of the wrong decisions. Those prisoners in jail that made mistakes years ago that are sitting behind bars, they may have been born again. They may have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are forgiven. God loves them, but they're still reaping the results of what they've sowed in a previous lifestyle. So this is a cause and effect of how the kingdom of God works. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You want to look at what you've been sowing into? Look at your life. What fruit is evident in your life? That's what you've been sowing into. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So here we see some of that corruption that he's in reference here to. In verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The due season is evident and is a guarantee or a promise to everybody that has sowed. Some people haven't sowed any seed in any areas of their life, and they're wondering why there's no harvest or a due season. Well, you got to sow the seed for there to be a due season. But undoubtedly, there is a due season if you don't grow weary in well-doing. And this is the biggest thing that I want to share with you, part of it, in this message today, is to not grow weary in well-doing, because there will be a due season. Any farmer that goes out and plants seed has an understanding that there will be a due season. He has an understanding that when he plants his crop, you're beginning to drive by fields now, and they're even starting to cut some of it, but you see that the corn is high and is getting ready for harvest. You've seen the bean fields, and you see the alfalfa and the clovers and different things that they have planted, and there will be a due season for that. Any smart farmer realizes that he needs to sow seeds into the ground, and he doesn't give up, grow weary, or faint during that time that it takes before the harvest is ready to be harvested. You will reap what you sow. That word faint means to relax, the point where motion stops. It means to relax, or the point where motion stops. Some of us like to get the word. We run out these doors. We hear the word of God, promise concerning healing, promise concerning finances, promise concerning health in your mental state or capacities, promise concerning covenant, promises concerning your family, promise concerning your marriage, promises concerning your children. We hear all these things and we receive the seed and plant them in our hearts. But as soon as we leave, we grow weary and we faint, or we stop in motion because the circumstance has created a greater voice than the seed that we've recognized that we've planted. And so during that time before the manifestation or the harvest of what you're believing God for is where the enemy works the hardest to get you to stop movement and stop motion. Sometimes it might be a stand, having done all to stand, but that's not stopping you or pushing you back. We're moving forward in this on a daily basis. You have to have an understanding that on a daily basis, that farmer goes out to his seed and he waters and he fertilizes and he nourishes that and he moves forward in that. If you'll bring up for me Genesis 8:22, another reference to seed time and harvest. It says, while the earth remaineth, does the earth remaineth here today? Is there an earth here? Well, praise God. That's a good sign. That's a good thing. Amen. Look what it says. Seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So he's saying things that while the earth remains, these things will not cease. Do we have cold and heat? Yeah, I think a couple of days ago was the first day of summer, and not autumn, amen. But I like autumn. This is the best time of the year. I'll tell you, I love the fall season. Glory to God. I always used to say, there's hunting season, then there's not hunting season. And not hunting season, you're preparing for hunting season. No, it's just, praise the Lord. Don't let that trip you up. I just love fall. I love harvest time. I love the changing of the leaves. Glory to God. So we do have cold and heat. Summer and winter. Do we still have summer and winter? Yeah, we know what's coming. Fall might be short-lived, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, we know we got fall, but we know what's coming after that. You know, right after Christmas, bam, let's go back to 70s, you know, no humidity. See, my wife's got a little Nicaraguan blood in her through relations, her great-grandmother, I believe, or whatever, and so it could be like 90 and humid, and she's like in her glory. Me, I'm like, I don't like heat on me. I don't like humidity. I'm like, give me like, you know, 60s and not humid so I don't melt. Glory to God. So amen. Summer and winter, day and night. Do we have day and night? Well, good. I see some sun out there, so hopefully it's day out there right now. Shall not cease. But the very first thing mentioned here, seed time and harvest. So if none of the rest of this verse is, if the rest of this verse is pertinent today, so is seed time and harvest. And you have to understand that it says, it just doesn't say seed and harvest. It says seed time and harvest. Meaning from the time that the seed is planted, there's a time and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. Any good farmer realizes the time aspect. They understand that there will be some things that I will not go out tomorrow after I planted seeds today and expect a harvest. There's going to be a time frame. And as believers, you have to have an understanding. Praise God for instant harvest. Praise God for miracles. Praise God for things where, you know, hands are laid on you, perhaps, and a miracle happens, and there's instantaneous healings. There's instantaneous financial breakthroughs and different things. But that's the exception and not the rule. The rule is you will plant a seed, there will be time, and then there will be a harvest. So don't get discouraged because you've been given faithfully that all of a sudden the floodgates haven't been open to you in resources in a week. Bless God, I've been given for a month now, and I ain't seen nothing different in my finances. Seed, time, and harvest, and if you are faithful to the process, you will reap a harvest in that area. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Turn with me, and this is where we're going to start picking up. Pastor's been ministering along these lines concerning faith in Mark, the fourth chapter. So turn with me to Mark, the fourth chapter, and we're going to get some more in-depth understanding of this. Glory to God. In all you're getting, get understanding, and Jesus is going to bring this to our attention. In Mark, the fourth chapter, starting with the ninth verse, and it says, "And he said unto them, his disciples, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." Now, he's in reference here to the parable of the sower because, you know, we've all heard the parable of the sower. You remember there were the different types of soil. There's the seed that fell by the wayside, the seed that fell on stony ground, the seed that grew up in the thorns, choked it out. And then you have the good ground, which bore the 30, 60, and 100%. Harvest on it. So now he's beginning to give instruction because the disciples had asked him about this parable. In verse 11 it says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings for the sake of understanding. And verse 12 says, "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should not be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" And he goes on to say, the sower sows the word. But in verse 13, he says, if you don't know this parable, then how will you know all parables? So Jesus has given specific instruction to his disciples. This parable of the sower, he says, if you don't know this parable, how will you know any other parable that I'm going to speak to you or minister to you? So he says it's vitally important that you understand the parable of the sower. And so we're going to jump down to verse 23, and this is where Pastor had picked up and has been ministering all along the lines of. And it says, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." So he says, take heed what you hear, or guard what you hear. Keep what you hear, because based on your hearing shall more be given to you. Now that doesn't mean just hearing with your natural ears. In the book of Proverbs, it says, wisdom being the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding. Because you can hear the words coming out of my mouth, but there'll be no profit attached to it until you get the understanding behind it. You know, my vehicle that I drove to church here today, if I didn't have the understanding of how to operate correctly that vehicle, I would have gone without the benefit of that vehicle. That light switch that's on the walls that gives us the lights here, unless you have the understanding of going over there and flipping the switch to connect, make the connection that brings electricity to these lights that illuminates the place so we can see one another. If you don't have understanding behind that, you'll go without the benefit of it. Same thing. He's not talking here specifically just because you didn't hear what I said. Your hearing has to be accompanied with your understanding. To him who understands shall more be given based on the knowledge that they do have. Glory to God. Verse 25, "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has." In verse 26, "And he said, So is the kingdom of God." Listen to this. "As if a man should cast seed into the ground." He says, talks to the disciples in parables. Understand this parable about sowing and reaping, because if you understand this parable, you'll understand all of them. And in verse 26, he says, "So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground." So he's saying right here, you want to know what the kingdom of God is, how it operates, how it works, what it looks like? It's as a man casting seed into the ground. So understand this, disciples. Understand how the kingdom of God operates as one who sows seed into the ground. "And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And he's giving the process here. He's saying it's as seed that is cast in the ground. It says that he rises night and day, and the earth springs up. And he knows not how. How did this happen? I don't know. I just know that it's how the kingdom operates. And if I get occupied and concerned with myself, with the way that the kingdom operates, it's going to bring forth a harvest. This is the process that he's talking about. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Your faith is a process. A farmer who has cast seed in the ground does not criticize the blade, because he is well aware of the due season, that is further along down the road, and when he begins to see the blade, he knows that soon there will be an ear, and then he will know that there is a full corn in the ear, and then harvest time has come. When you're believing God for the healing in your body, you're believing God for a creative miracle, and you feel a little bit better, don't criticize the word or God because you're not fully here. That's your blade. That's the start of it. Understand, as a good farmer, as one who has sowed seed into the soil, that that's just a blade. Then there will be the ear. Then there will be the full corn in the ear. Some of you are aware of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know, countless numbers of people that were raised from the dead under his ministry. Man of miraculous power. An apostle of faith, life changer. And there were some young men that had asked him, how is it that you became such a renowned man of faith? How is it that you have all these signs and wonders and miracles in your ministry? And he told these individuals, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, he didn't get there overnight. It was a process, day in, day out, tending to the harvest that was planted in his life. He didn't wake up the next morning and criticize the lack of the harvest that was there. He understood this is a process. It may not happen in a day. It may not happen in a week. It may not happen in a month. But in due season, if I'm faithful to the process, it will yield a harvest in my life. And it says, but when the fruit brought forth immediately, he put forth the sickle because the harvest is come. A farmer knows that there is a due season, and he takes that time to tend to his crop, knowing that that harvest time and that due season is near. And if you keep on reading, I want to bring some attention in verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? He said, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadows of it. I want to just specify, because some people say, you know, and rightfully so, they say, well, if I just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I can move mountains. Well, yeah, it's a start there, but notice there's a process, because it says, as a mustard seed. There's other renderings that you read through the scriptures in the Gospels that talks about as a mustard seed or of a mustard seed in comparison to it. That's why he goes on to say, even though it's just the smallest of seeds, it groweth up. And it brings forth branches that the fowls can come under. In other words, that seed didn't stay in that seed position. And so oftentimes, not to trip you up, but it says in Romans 12:3 that we've all been given a measure of faith. Well, is your measure of faith that God ordained and gave to you smaller than a mustard seed? Because that should be sufficient to move mountains otherwise. But he's speaking a parable here as a grain of mustard seed. It was planted as the smallest of seeds, but it says it groweth up. There was a time frame from when that seed was planted in the ground that it grew up and developed branches to where it became a refuge to wildlife. Glory to God. So that's what he's making as an analogy. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process that underwent to take the smallest of seeds to bring it into the largest plant in the garden. And you have to understand that process. It takes time accompanied with your faithfulness. A faithful man will abound in blessing. Faithful what? Faithful to the process. A farmer plants that seed, then he's rooting out weeds. He's fertilizing. He's cultivating. He's keeping out birds from getting on it. You see different scarecrows and things hanging in there. I've seen plants with some people put CDs, so the CDs are spinning around there. I'm like, he's got a CD collection out there spinning around his garden. I'm like, what's up with that? Well, he's dressing it. He's keeping it. Why? He's waiting and anticipating the due season. He knows, hey, might not look like much now. Might not look like much tomorrow. But in due season, this harvest is coming. And I'm recognizing it. So I'm giving my undivided, full, faithful attention to the seed that was planted. Same thing in your own personal life concerning the Word of God. Whatever you're believing God for, whatever word and promise that you have in your life, give yourself to the process. Because this is how the Lord says that the kingdom of God operates. You're believing God, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. Week goes by, man, it doesn't look any different. Hey, this is a process. This is a process. All grace and earthly favor abounds towards me in all things. I'll be self-sufficient, requiring no aid. I can give to every good work. I look at my bank account. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for finances. Thank you, God. I've been made rich. You know, it's a process. And don't, when that money comes in, when that health comes in, when you get reprieve from any kind of mental attack or anxiety, that's your blade. It's a process. Stay faithful to the process, because in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Glory to God. Now, these last couple minutes, we're doing good on time. Understand, faith is a process. Understand, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Listen where we're going right now. We're going to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Because this is where most Christians miss it, I feel. This is what the Lord's been dealing with me. This is where most Christians miss or abort the plan of God for their life concerning the process. And this is so vitally important. In 1 Corinthians 3, and I want to start out reading the first couple of verses. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Ouch. He's talking to this Corinthian church, and he says, "I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He says, "I have fed you," past tense, "with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able to bear it." So in other words, he came and ministered to the Corinthians, and he planted the seed of God's word into their life, and he came back a time later, and he expected to at least see the blade. And he says, "I can't speak to you as unto spiritual. I have to speak unto you as carnal, like you're not even born again, like you even have a clue how the kingdom of God operates." He said, "I fed you with milk before, I showed up now to feed you meat, and I have to feed you milk again." In other words, I was looking for some increase on your behalf, and I found nothing. I was looking for someone that had given their attention to the process and made it their desire to grow in the things of God, and I found nothing. Why? Because the corruption of the flesh is evident amongst you. Must have been watching too much YouTube. Must have been on your phone too long. Must have been hammering out on the computer, on Facebook, way too long, and neglected the seed of the word that I ministered unto you, so that when I'm now ministering to you, you're carnal. I expected to at least hear some faith out of somebody's mouth. I at least wanted to hear a testimony of how somebody was making it through. I was looking to see some kind of harvest on somebody's life, and I found none. I remember, you know, we'd have different ministers that would come in, and they would see different ones, and they'd be like, "Yeah, I see you've grown, brother. I see you've grown. I've seen fruit on your life." Well, this is pertinent to that. There should be some kind of evidence that you weren't the way you were when you first heard the word and when you got saved. I should look at your life now that you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and there should be some fruit attached to your life that you didn't have back then. And I should not be talking to you or speaking to you as carnal and trying to get you born again when you were born again back then. There should have been some kind of an increase here. The deeper things, they didn't have understanding, so that which they had was taken from them. So let's go down to verse 6. This is where I want you to understand and to get this. Verse 6. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. When it says husbandry, it means you are God's garden. You are God's field under cultivation. But in verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gives the increase. See, back in the Corinthian church, they didn't have the Bible as we have. They didn't look and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and say, hey, there we are. Praise God. We can see I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So how is it that Paul is making reference to I have planted, Apollos had watered, but God gave the increase? He's talking about the spoken word of God. I came to you, I planted by speaking or ministering the word to you. Then came along Apollos, and he watered by speaking the word of God to you. God gave the increase based on the planting and the watering. Goes on to say, he who plants and he who waters are one. They're of equal importance. Their significance is the same. From the one who plants to the one who waters, an increase is attached to it. So oftentimes, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we come in and we receive the planting of the Word of God, but we neglect the watering of the Word of God. Now, you guys aren't the first, because last night I ministered in Erie and I shared this because everyone needed to get this, but this is the first time for Family Church I brought props here with me today. You have to see this. For the sake of understanding, and all you're getting, get understanding. I got this nice Bath and Body Works. Jeff Trussler over here was criticizing me for my nice feminine bag. But that's all right. I'm secure in my manlyhood. So Bath and Body, I don't have, you know, lotions or scents or bathroom sprays or anything in here. But what I do have in here, I got a nice Ziploc of grass seed. This is seed right here. This is some good, probably Kentucky bluegrass or fescue or whatever. It'd make your lawn nice and green and shiny. And so here I have the seed. So I'm going to set the seed right there. As I've set it at home, it's been in my garage, sitting in the same position that it is right here. And I don't know why, but as long as I've had this seed, it's remained the same. It looks just like that. There it is. It's been sitting there. The seed's been sitting there, and I've been looking at it. I've been laying hands on it. I've been wanting it to do something. I've been observing it. If friends were over, I'd show them. Amen. The wife's seen it. The kid's seen it. Probably kicked it over a couple times. And I've wanted the seed to do something, and it's done nothing. Now, I can eat this. I could stuff a mattress or pillow with it. I could, do probably a lot of things with this. You know, I don't know the absorption of it, you know, whatever. But apart from this seed being planted, it profits nothing. I've wanted it to. Some Christians never get to the point or position themselves to receive the imperishable word of God because they don't come to church. I have planted, Apollos has watered. You got to be the place of planting and the place of watering. That is the local church. So the seed never enters any soil, let alone the criteria of the ground that we need to be prepared to reap a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. So here's the seed. I have this seed. I have planted, Apollos watered. So I had this seed. I got to do something with this seed to get some kind of harvest, because I see the seed, it sits there on the shelf, sits on the nightstand, I get up, walk by it, day in, day out, just sits there, sits in the floorboards of the car, gets kicked around, No attention to the seed. There it is. Why isn't it working for me? Lord, there must be something wrong with faith. There must be something wrong with me. No, plant the seed. So what I did was I planted the seed. There it is. If you were to look in this, you see I got dirt up to here, and I planted the seed in there. You can see the seed that's in there. See the seeds that are in there? Why don't we go ahead and pass this around? No, I'm just kidding. Kids be like, do it all that and stuff like that. No, we'll hang on to this, you know, because we don't want, as ushers, like communion, you notice how everybody comes up? People, you give it to them, oh, yeah, pass this down the aisle. You know it's one of those, and it's like, should have just had them come up. So that's why we do that, amen. So I'll hang on to this. But I took the seed, and I planted it in here. The seed is planted into this soil. This is good dirt. This is topsoil. It's like $25 a ton or something like that. A yard, $25 a yard. Thank you, Brent, for giving me the direction on that. $25 a yard for this topsoil, and it's not a ploy for the topsoil, but it's good stuff because I paid $25 for our topsoil. So anyway, the seed is planted in here. And so I set this on the way there, and I'm looking at it. I got seed planted in the ground. I got seed planted in the ground. And this is a representation of a majority of the Christians' lives. They get the seed, and it's planted in the ground. They receive the seed of the word like you're receiving it here today in church. You come Sundays, you come Wednesdays, you're faithful and do that. You receive the word, and it gets planted, but there it stays. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Something was missing in this dry dirt, the watering of it. These seeds were planted the same time as seeds that were watered. And as I planted the seeds, the grass seed, over the course of time, that which was watered, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. First there was just a nubbin. First there was just a little stubble on there. Well, this ain't working. I don't see the fullness of what I've been believing God for. No, I understand the process. And I understand that I have planted, Apollos watered. He who plants, he who waters are one. They're the same importance. Don't just plant the seed and not water it. We have the imperishable seed of God that grows under tremendous watering. You know, our agriculture and stuff, they believe God for rain. They believe God for that harvest time. You get over in Israel and over in those places, they have the early and latter rain. And that is so vital for their cultivation. And they totally are dependent on that. But too much watering, I know, understand sometimes naturally can drown some things out, and we don't want to do that. But the imperishable seed that is in your heart can be watered and watered and watered and should be watered and watered and watered continuously until the manifestation develops. And I want to give you a couple ways that you can water your seed. You're here today. You're faithful. You're receiving the word. Get to watering. Get to watering. Don't just get the seed and the promise. You have to water it. First, meditation. If you'll bring up for me Joshua 1:8. Look what it says in Joshua 1:8. Jot these down. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You need to get the word inside of you and meditate day in, day out, day and night. He says, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. It's the process of it. Don't believe that you're healed. By your stripes, I'm healed, and let it stop there. Get the scriptures and the meditations. Above all, I wish for you to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. I thank you, Father. I'm the healed of the Lord. I thank you that you sent your word and healed them. So glory to God. I'm watering by meditating and speaking on the word of God. Colossians 4:2, if you'll bring that up for me. or I'm sorry, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. First Psalm 1 through 3. Blessed is the man, you're aware of these verses because pastor ministers these. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It shall be like a tree planted by constant watering, by constant moisture. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Glory to God. The second way that we water is to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. And if you'll bring up Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. See, you have to understand during this process, when you receive the word of God, you believe that you receive. And if you'll bring up Mark 11, 23 and 24. And you guys know these verses, but there's the order in which you do it. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So initially, when you receive what you're believing God for is when you pray. It's not when it shows up. It's not when it manifests. You receive your harvest as soon as the seed is planted. Then you continue to water through thanksgiving. So, Father, I see in your word that by your stripes I'm healed. I see in your word that you sent your word and healed them. So, Father, I receive right now my healing in Jesus' name. So I don't pray continually, Father, I believe that you healed me. I believe and I'm believing for my healing. You thank him for what you've already received. Continue in prayer with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you I'm the healed of the Lord. Father, I thank you that with your stripes I'm healed. I thank you that I'm whole in body. I thank you that I'm healthy. I thank you that I'm strengthened in my bones. I'm thank you for those. What is he doing? I'm watering the word. I thank you that, Father, I've been made rich. I thank you that you've delivered me out of financial turmoil and financial chaos. I thank you that my finances are in order. I thank you made me rich, so I am rich, Father, and I praise you for it. What are you doing? You're watering the word that is planted, and you have to continue in doing that. A farmer doesn't water one time on his own. Like, say you have a plant in your house. Those things need watered. Who knew? You have a plant in your house, you have to water it more than once every 4 months, apparently. Unless you have a cactus or something like that. One of those air plants that you just spray with a bottle or something. My wife loves that kind of stuff. I'm just not real knowledgeable on it. You know, I say every year comes springtime, everything's green, so when I go by with the mower, bam! She's like, you hit my so-and-so. I'm like, it was green. It was, you know, what was it? But you have to continuously water, and you water through your thanksgiving. You water by getting into the word and meditating. A farmer understands that his crop needs water just as much as it needs planting. If he planted a seed, he's like, oh, better rain. Better give me the right conditions to keep that soil moist so that I can have a due season and have a harvest. He understands that the water and the nourishment of the seed that was planted is as vital as the seed being planted itself. And that's where Christians fail. In that time process, they neglect the watering of the seed. They get occupied. They get enveloped with the things of this world and the cares of this world and the distractions of this world. And they spend their watering time on things more than the promise that they're believing God for. Continue. And I want to close with this, just to give a testimony and a story. We heard from Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Some of you have heard this story, I know. But there was a woman that had a child that was born with a disability, was crippled, could not walk, up to a couple years of age. And so this child had never walked before. they stood on the word and believed God that this child would be whole in body and that this child would be able to walk. So they received, whether it was a creative miracle, whether it was, you know, a case of healing or whatever they were believing God for, this abnormality that was in this kid. And so what did they do? They received the healing for her son. So every day for an hour, she would take her son, she would put him in a wagon, and she would pull him around the house. Praise you, Father, that my son is whole. Praise you, Father, that you took his sickness and disease. Praise you, Father, that by your stripes he's healed. Praise you, Father, that you sent your word and you healed him. I thank you for strength in his body. I thank you that the power of God's working a cure on the inside of him. I thank you that sickness and disease has to go. I thank you that your power is driving out all ailments, diseases in him. I thank you, Father. I thank you that he's going to be walking. I thank you in casting forth vision. And it maybe didn't happen in a day. It maybe didn't happen in a week. It maybe didn't happen in a month. But there was a day that kid got out of that wagon and began to run around under the power of God in a creative miracle. Why? This woman understood the process. She understood that the moment that she prayed, nothing looked different. She understood that the moment that the seed of healing was planted, that she received for the wholeness of her kid, nothing had happened. A week went by, nothing had happened. But she knew that if I stay with this process and I water it continuously, day in, day out, I know that God will bring the increase till the one day where this kid got out of that wagon, began to run around the house completely whole. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Understand the process of faith. Praise God for the miraculous, like I say, but that's the exception and not the rule. We want to be good farmers. Receive the seed here today, but don't go home and neglect the watering of it. What is it you're believing God for? What promises are you standing on? Water them. Don't just say, oh, yeah. I know that he hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, yeah, I know that. You're going through, you know, mental attacks, and you're going through that spirit of fear is evident. Instead of taking your authority over it, I have the mind of Christ. I thank you, Father, that I have a sound mind. And you begin to water those things till you see the manifestation of those things in your life. Understand the process and give yourself wholly to the process. Why? For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Glory to God. Amen. Did you get anything here today? Amen. Praise the Lord. That is so important that we take the time not only to receive the word when we're gathered like this, but you need to meditate on the word to drive it into you. That's what it does, is it waters you. And then when you pray, believe God that you receive and then thank him. No need to receive again and again and again. That's, you know, doubt and unbelief to continue to ask God for what he's already given. That's why it says in Mark 11:24, believe that you receive and you'll have. Once you have it, hey, nothing looks different. Didn't ask you. Rise night and day. Rise night and day. Your concern is the meditation of the word and the thanksgiving and praising of God that you've received whatever you're believing God for. You've received the seed of it and you're watering it. You're guarding it. You're dressing it. You're tilling it. You're tending it. Glory to God till that due season arrives. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father,